Access more.
Sometimes we say normal instead of typical, or some people get even offended if you say typical. You need to say neurotypical. I'm like, that's a lot of words for me to say. We need to give more grace in general in all of these mama communities, because everybody says it, but not a lot of people actually give it.
Welcome to Mom Life Community, where we are mothers uplifting mothers. We are a sisterhood on a lifelong journey to love, encourage, and equip you on your motherhood journey. We are joined each week by some other moms who will join our discussions and share real life experiences. Mom Life is about meeting mothers right where they are at, and today we are talking about what it's like to be a mother to special needs children. If you're listening right now and think this doesn't affect you, stay with us, friend. Chances are you know or will know another mother on this journey. There is so much misunderstanding around this topic of discussion. So if you are a mom, this episode is for you. I'm your co-host, Heather Houlet.
And I'm Helen Smallbone. One of the biggest things we learned in speaking with mothers of special needs kids is that they often feel judged by other mothers, especially when it isn't so evident by the appearance of the child that it is a child with special needs. They get stared at, eye-rolled, and because others think their child just needs more discipline. And it broke my heart to hear this. And actually, I've been reprimanded personally by God on this particular issue. And I'd like to share one of it, and one of the mums who I think is here today, where she shared specifically about her experience with this. But I mentioned at a Mum Life meeting that I'm critical of families when they go to eat at a restaurant and you see the kids on media. And we were actually talking about media and the use of media at this particular session. And one of the mums there, and her name's Starla, and Starla is here with us today, she mentioned that she felt that judgment, not from me specifically at that particular restaurant, but from others like me when she and her husband went on a date to celebrate their anniversary and they had to take their autistic son with them. To keep him occupied while they talked and shared, it was an anniversary celebration, they allowed him to use media. And she said the judgment she felt from the tables around them was palpable. So sorry, ladies, for being in those situations for you and feeling the judgment of others.
So often, and I know, Helen, I'm guilty of going through life with blinders on at times, and we only see what we've learned or allowed our minds to believe. And isolation is one of the most pervasive things a mother of special needs children deals with. It affects every aspect of their and their family's lives. Raising a special needs child brings about a range of emotions that are constantly changing. Mm-hmm. And self-care is so important, but often neglected, as these mothers are spending more time caring for or advocating for their child, all while living in that mental drain of wondering, am I doing enough and am I doing it right?
And having that responsibility, I'm a mom of a chronically ill now adult, but having that responsibility of caring and you're responsible for what care the child gets and making decisions on their care. I mean, it's overwhelming. Am I doing enough? Am I doing it right? Is there more I should be doing? But I'm maxed out in doing what I'm doing. You know, all those questions that just pervade in that scenario, it's just very hard. As Heather and I do not have a special needs child, we're going to actually go straight to our discussion time so that these mums who have joined us today that are mums of special needs kids can share more openly and honestly with us. We're honoured to have each of you with us. Thank you for joining us. And I'm opening the discussion questions with the one that is going to be speaking back to me specifically. In the area of judgment, you not only catch it from mothers who might be out in the community who don't understand that you are a special needs mum, but I think you can also get criticism and judgment from other special needs mums who think that you're not doing it correct or you're not doing it the way that they would do it, and even family who think that they know how to speak into your lives and that they've become an expert on your particular situation. So my first question is, how do you handle this? And what are some ways that we can all learn to speak more respectfully so not to cause you hurt?
Sometimes unsolicited advice feels more like an attack. It's not as helpful as it should be or as the person intends it to be.
So you would much prefer to actually have asked somebody for advice than somebody just come and give you advice?
The majority of the time, yeah. And it actually also depends on the mood I'm in that day. If it's been a really hard day, a hard week, then I might not mind certain things, but I also might overreact too. Right. And that's always a risk as well, that I might say something that I don't feel is very Christian if you catch me in a spicy moment.
I'll speak to that too. Like I feel like I'm pretty feisty in general. I don't have a problem being like looking at someone and saying, do you want to go into this today and learn all about why we're at this place? And the Lord has really, as a Christian mom raising a special needs child, the Lord has really had to deal with me regarding grace, because at one time, I wasn't a parent of a special needs child. Mm-hmm. And the response that I gave people was judgment.
Yeah.
I mean,
you've been there.
Yeah. My twin boys, who are 13, don't really struggle in a whole lot of anything at this point. Mm-hmm. They're going to.
They're pretty
like
typical
everyone.
Children.
But yeah, they, I disciplined them, you know, more than I probably needed to. And so when our daughter came, and that looked incredibly different, and I couldn't discipline out the...
Yeah, give the background of your story there, Casey, because she did come to you through adoption.
That's right.
And you did not know at the time that she...
had a trauma background.
Yeah.
That's
right.
So she has a trauma background. We're currently kind of in the throes of finding out a lot of things, honestly. You know, we're going to be dealing with neurology and finding out if there is a TBI potentially, all kinds of things. But much of what her challenges look like to everyone else is very behavioral. And she has no indication on her outward appearance that she would have a challenge at all. So when she's screaming, I hate you, I don't want to have a mom, some of these things, you're not already crushed, right, on your own. but the judgment that you feel from other people it's debilitating. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, and some of that, I actually have a really amazing group of support. My small group in particular, I think they will actually say, you are making yourself kind of hide away on your own. We want to be with you. Mm-hmm. And everyone doesn't have that. I mean, but for myself, I tend, because her outbursts are so intense, sometimes it's like I want to protect other people. I also want to protect their view of her massively. Mm-hmm. And so what I have found in terms of all of that is grace. Like I have to look at someone and say there's an ignorance there of, not in an ugly way, but of, you don't understand what's happening here, and I have to leave it at that and deal with my daughter, because I will even like discipline her more or something in an effort to like make myself look like I'm a good mom or whatever.
Well, you brought up a great point, Casey, because I think that is so huge. It's not only a lesson for all moms not to judge each other, because nobody knows what's going on in our
nobody
lives,
knows
right?
Your story.
But also just that unidentifiable with the human eye of what is going on, as far as like, you know, kids with ADD, you know, kids with a trauma background, that people have no idea. And it's almost like this invisible thing. And so the immediate reaction parents will go to is they're not disciplined enough and they have no idea. And it's such a great to keep in all of our back pockets to, whether they have ADD or they're not disciplined enough, for us not to be judging other moms with what's happening.
Specifically in the Christian world. I mean, I will just say that, like, because you're going to these people you know, and you're desperately wanting some acceptance or some prayer or some whatever, and someone's like, hey, give him a swat every once in a while, you're like, you're brilliant. You have no idea what you're talking about. You know what I mean? So it's that's a real challenge, I feel like, in the church often. And again, in an effort not to be bitter, you have to go, these are humans. They don't fully get what is happening here. Or you stay in this bitter place and you won't go anywhere, you know?
Yeah, I agree with Casey. Like, now my son is 15 now. So, and I'm very, unlike Casey, I do not say things back to people. I'm pretty introverted and I tend to take things extremely personally. Like, gosh, I'm not doing this right. I have not done enough. You know, every criticism I take is, you know, I take it personally that I did, you know, I should be doing more, or what I'm doing is not the right thing. And I think to myself, and I try and think to myself, you know what, if I had just my other son, my typical son, I'd probably think the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you're not handling this right, you're not doing, but you don't know. You just, people aren't able to know what they don't know. And there's also just so much, like, misinformation, just, well, in general in life, but, you know, especially when it comes to disabilities or, you know, mental health, all those kinds of things. You know, they might have read something on the internet that said that ADHD isn't really real. It's just a label that, you know, like, so, and, you know, it is what it is. But after 15 years, I'm finally in a better place where I'm taking things slightly less personally. But I mean, it's still, you know, it still hurts. And then it...
And it's hard because he does not look like, or even...
Yes, my son looks...
Talks, if you had a conversation, would know.
Yes, his disabilities are definitely hidden. And his physical disabilities especially have chronically been labeled as behavioral, which, I mean, y'all, if he could have faked his physical disabilities for 15 years, I mean, that's some fortitude that I wish he had, but he does not. It's still frustrating, and I still go home and cry when people say things, and I just wish things could be better, and I can't pray it away, and I can't make it better, but I do think that you have to give people grace, because, I mean, like I said, you don't know what you don't know.
I think there are darlings kind of in the disability world as well. There are certain things that people know, like dyslexia is a huge word. A law was passed for that particular thing, for the school to recognize that. But with our situation, it's there are other learning disabilities that are under that same umbrella. But I actually had to educate our file manager or our caseholder at school that our disability was also covered under that umbrella. Just because people fought for dyslexia because that was what their child had. But I kind of wish that the law was more just learning disability related, so we can get more support, you know, for other things besides that as well.
Usually, I think most of you have not only atypical children or special needs children, but you also have typical children as well. Living with a special needs sibling, I imagine, is very hard on the others, the typical children. It's hard to invite friends into the home when the friends don't understand the sibling relationship and what it's like to live with a special needs child. So for the mum who's listening, who has a child, a typical child, who happens to be a friend to someone who has a sibling that has special needs, what would you say to that other mum to help her with her own child on how to be a friend to the sibling typical child?
I'd say just don't be afraid. I mean, I will watch people's response with our daughter. And it's sometimes it's actually a physical backing up. Like, and I get it because she's whoa some days, right? But my boys in particular, when our daughter entered the school that they were in, one of them came to us because we've always kept a really open dialogue. Just of feelings and none of it's wrong kind of deal.
Not how you feel isn't wrong. You're telling your typical child how you feel is not wrong, which I think is huge.
So they, one of them came to me and said, and he was sobbing. He didn't even want it. It felt so shameful to say, I'm worried that I'm going to feel embarrassed if she does something while we're at school. And I said, you probably will at first. But I said, I think you'll be surprised at how you stand up for her. Mm-hmm. And he came home and there was a situation and he immediately was like, amazing. Better than probably any adult ever could be. I just say more than anything with like parents to that question is just don't be afraid to send your kid. Like, mm-hmm. especially with special needs where there's outbursts and ugly talking and we're not parents that are like cussing at home and talking awful. Our child just doesn't know how to respond mm-hmm. when they're afraid or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we're going to protect your kid when they're at our house too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I think they're afraid to some degree. And follow the lead of the friend. Right. I mean, that's the biggest part. Right. And my boys' friends really have. I mean, they're really amazing with our daughter, but it's because our boys are. Mm-hmm. So
that's a great point, actually.
Yeah.
How your and what I love about that is your own sons are influencing their peers on how to treat with respect somebody who's different. Mm-hmm. And really, if you look at a lot of stuff in our world, it's when somebody's different, we automatically pull away from mm-hmm. or we don't know how to handle, but they're actually showing people how to do it at 15 mm-hmm. or 13, you said, mm-hmm. 13 years old. And I think that's amazing.
Yeah. I also would suggest to the typical mom to ask the other mom, is there anything I should tell my kiddos about
right.
or anything? Because most special needs mom, like I know at least me personally, because I've got five kids. We've got a big household. We've got a lot of special needs mixed in there.
Tell us your story, Jenny.
So out of my five kids, my oldest is pretty typical. All of my kids are adopted. My four youngest are biological siblings of each other, full biological siblings. And let's see. So the second one has ADHD, but is pretty high functioning. You wouldn't know anything. My 12-year-old has nonverbal autism, has a trauma background. She can't toilet herself, can't feed herself, is like an infant in a 12-year-old body. My 11-year-old has a disease called Charcot-Marie-Tooth syndrome, which affects your muscles and your coordination. So though she's smart as a whip, and if you meet her, she looks like a typical 11-year-old girl until she starts moving. And then mm-hmm. you think that she's trying to be funny or destructive because she doesn't move like typical children do. And then my 9-year-old has nonverbal autism and also the same Charcot-Marie-Tooth syndrome. So we've got a lot going on, but my two, you know, that are on the typical side have had a lot of problems getting friends to come over. And for us, it's a lot easier to have people into our house than to go out because, it's just a lot. But one thing that, because I hate the question, which some kids innocently ask, like, what's wrong with her? Because my 12-year-old, you know, she has pica on top of autism and she drools a lot. And if you're not used to that, I understand that it can be off-putting. And I definitely give everyone grace when you step back. But at the same time, like, usually I try to prepare people, which maybe that's the overprotectiveness of me, but I try to prepare people that are going to meet her because she is very extroverted, just trapped inside her body. So mm-hmm. she loves people. She loves to hold your hand. She loves to make eye contact. Mm-hmm. She loves to try to get some sort of love reaction from you. And so I try to prepare people beforehand. So I talk to the moms every time a new kid comes into my house. And then I also try to talk to the kid a little bit too.
Yeah. And I think it's so important too, Jenny, that for moms of typical kids, that they educate their children on that too, to know like, hey, everybody's got something. This is what they're walking through. And it's okay, you know, so that they're not in shock or they're not like, why are they saying that? Or why are they acting like that? I mean, two of my children have very close friends that have ADHD and it's visible. It's audible, you know, you can hear it. And it's just like, oh, they have ADHD, you know, whatever. And And that's just what it is, mm-hmm. you know? And we're all in this together, you know? And I think it's so important for moms to educate their kids so that they're not shocked or like, why did he say that? Or why is he acting like that? Mm-hmm. To just be able to accept that, hey, this is how I am. This is how they are and how God made us all so uniquely different.
And know? I'll tell you, yeah. publicly educated children, I can just speak to that because of my boys. There's a lot of growth that can still happen in the school system. I'm not like saying that there isn't, but our children have a much, because of inclusion, they have a much better ability to not be creeped out or freaked out.
Just roll with the punches.
Yeah. Than any adult I know.
Right.
I mean, it's just when we went into our daughter's orphanage in China, a little girl with Down syndrome ran up to one of my sons. And he knelt down and rubbed her hair and talked mm-hmm. to her and held her. My husband and I were like, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Like we were learning from them. Yeah. A lot of times I would almost say to a parent, go with your kid.
Right.
Because they're probably better at it than you are based solely on the fact that they've been exposed to it right. in a different way for the right. most part.
I agree. There's been a big generational change because of inclusion. I've yeah. noticed in, yeah. you know, how children react. Whereas like when I went to school, they were like in a separate classroom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
they were away, which gives mm-hmm. you this feeling that they don't need to be with us. But now that they're mainstream.
Right, right.
I mean, I think that benefits the typical children just as much as Absolutely. It does the non-typical children. Yeah. And to your point, Heather, I would just say, agree. Like, anytime you're out in public with your kid, period, not even if they're going to a friend's house like that, you know, just if they're looking at somebody, just say, you know what? God made that person just like they made you.
Yeah.
There are no mistakes. Mm-mm. They are mm-hmm. just a person. You know, I work with special needs adults, and my kids were a little confused when they mm-hmm. would come to work with me occasionally because they're adults that maybe function on a four-year-old level. And they're like, well, why are they, you know, coloring you pictures like that? You know, and I'm like, because that's how their brain is, and mm-hmm. it's okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
God made them that way right. for a very specific reason, yeah. and mm-hmm. they are just people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Mm-hmm. There was one day not that long ago that my son came home and told me, so-and-so said this to me today, and I was like, who's that? I didn't know who the person was. And he said, oh, it's, you know, this kid. He goes, but he has ADHD, and he says that stuff, so I didn't take it personal. Like, he understood, you know, he was aware, he knew, he understood. He goes, yeah. it's okay, he has ADHD. He didn't mean it like that. But he wanted to share it with me, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. that it happened, but he knew he didn't take it personal. He's aware of what it is. And so I just think that that's so important, and it's special. I think it really creates this bond. I always say knowledge is power, right?
Absolutely.
Even to children, it's power.
Totally.
It's power in their friendships. It's power in being able to give grace, being able to be accepting.
Inclusion, so important. I have a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old, and then we got pregnant with Emily, who's now 2. And I really struggled when she was born telling my older children that she had Down syndrome. I had this little book, and it actually went really well. And my son, who was, you know, 8 at the time, was like, Mom, there's 3 other kids at my school with Down syndrome. They're so sweet. I love them so much. It's just so great. Like, she's going to be able to do this and that and go on trips with us and all this. And I was like, yes. And he's like, Mom, she's my sister. I just love her. Mm-hmm. And my eyes were just open to this whole world of how our kids are seeing differently mm-hmm. abled individuals. Mm-hmm. They are. It is a whole nother world. It's not how we grew up. And I am so thankful for that mm-hmm. because, you know what, that helped my mama heart. And mm-hmm. I needed to hear that because mm-hmm. I was really struggling. Mm-hmm. And his little words pop in my head all the time.
Yeah.
It was almost like a God wink of just like, it's okay, and I got mm-hmm. you. And mm-hmm. she's worthy, and she's meant to be here. And mm-hmm. we all can love better and be more inclusive.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Dana, you said use the word differently abled.
Mm-hmm.
Would you moms today just share with us, because I know that it is a hot topic of terms that are acceptable and not acceptable, and it even happens within your own community as special needs mm-hmm. mom. Would you be able to share with us today so that the listener at home can know what terms are not appropriate to use anymore?
The R one's always a huge word.
Absolutely.
And you still hear people say it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I hear the R word, which, and just in case anyone doesn't know, that's the retarded. Mm-hmm. To me, that's a liquid or something that slows down, because I was raised in a home where my father was a concrete in the concrete industry. So you put a retarder in the concrete and it slows down that processing issue. I would never call somebody that. And so that's probably the biggest hot word or buzzword in the special needs community.
And I think people say it maybe not even intending towards a child or an adult with a disability. I think they say it as a, just in passing. Well, that situation is retarded, you know, and it just needs to be taken out of the vocabulary altogether because it's so hurtful.
Yeah, my daughter's friends, knowing full well that we have autism in our home, what we call high-functioning autism, they would still use that word with my daughter, talking to my daughter, and it was very uncomfortable for my daughter, and it put her in a tough situation because she didn't want to say something to them at that point in her life. It was hard for her to face confrontation, but yet it was very distressing to her to hear that R word, and to know the struggles that my son has went through. And, you know, even there are different levels of autism. And I can see how that would be even more offensive to somebody who had a child who struggled even more than we have in our home.
Yeah, I live in a county that we do not do inclusion. So I come from a very different perspective of the school systems. And I don't love my kids being called like, oh, that's like the slow room. Just call them different. If you don't really have another word for them, they're just different. Everyone's unique. And yeah, so I don't, that one is one that for some reason pierces my heart because I'm like, oh, they're just different.
You want to say the fact that you're using that term, you're actually the one that we could use that term for. I'm sorry. get with it, folks. I really struggle, I will say, with the special needs community. And it may be my own, I don't know, insecurity, but I struggle to communicate in forums or whatever with other special needs people or parents because I feel like I'm not going to say the right words even to them. And that dynamic, and we could say this across the board for every challenge in our world right now, is so divisive that you can't look at someone and go, let's talk about that. If you're reprimanding someone right off the bat, good luck having a conversation with them. Mm-hmm. So
it's immediate shutdown.
It's arrogant and it's, you know, and I get it for a lot of people, it's coming from a hurt place. But like I said, I mean, in the adoptive community and the special needs community, mm-hmm. I struggle to really have conversations in forum type settings with either community.
Mm-hmm. We try to be person focused. Like with my adult special needs students, this is a person with autism. Mm-hmm. They are not autistic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
So we try to use person focused mm-hmm. language that with our really adults
because it doesn't identify the person.
Yeah.
In our home, we say autism. It's just like having blue eyes and mm-hmm. you know, the color of hair that you have. Mm-hmm. That's just something about you. It doesn't define who you are. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you can hear yourself slipping into that area. So I try not to reprimand anybody. But another word that I'm particularly not fond of is normal. And I've probably, mm-hmm. that's probably slid out of my mouth at times as well, you know. But I cringe when I hear somebody saying something about normal versus not normal. I would not consider myself normal, quite honestly, if we're just saying that. With this brain is always on the go, you know, and making boo-boos and this and that. So
there is, though, we do need grace, I think, in the special needs community and in, like, typical communities. Like you said, we slip. Sometimes we say normal instead of typical. Or some people, like, get even offended if you say typical. You need to say neurotypical. I'm like, that's a lot of words for me to say. There's just, you know, we need to give, almost back to the beginning of our conversation, mm-hmm. we need to give more grace in general in all mm-hmm. of these mama communities because there is not, everybody says it, but not a lot of people actually give it.
Mm-hmm. And it's why people aren't, I mean, I think it adds to why folks with typical children worry to get involved with people who have special needs kids.
It's kind of landmines.
It is. They're like, oh man, I'm not going to say the right thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes them nervous. Yeah. So.
And a lot of it I didn't know before I had a special needs child.
That's right.
You know?
Yep.
I mean, even members of my family will call her a Downs baby. Like, she's a baby with Downs, or she's just Emily. You know, she's right. not, you know, her diagnosis. Mm-hmm. But I look back, you know, I probably would have said that a couple years ago, right? And so it just goes back to knowledge is power and just trying to understand, but being graceful too at the same time. We're all just doing the best we can, mm-hmm. right? And I think just coming from a good place in your heart and trying to explain that if you do have only typical kids and you want to reach out to someone in the special needs community, you don't have to do it. You could do it, you know, privately. You could, hey, face-to-face actually works sometimes too. Just a mom-to-mom, pull us over to the side and just say, how are you doing? Can I, you know, is there anything you need? Mm-hmm. Or is there anything that, you know, I can be praying for you for? I think little things like that can go so far, and they do mean so much.
I had someone who prayed for me in a store one time. And I thought that was amazing because I'm not good at praying out loud with people who are listening, and just because my thoughts are so jumbled, usually in my own head. And someone just saw that there was a really low moment. I can't even remember. We have a lot of low moments, so I can't really remember what it was in regards to. Maybe it was something medical or something the child related. But the person just stepped over and said, "You might need some prayer. Is that okay if I pray with you?" And I was, you know, just kind of dissolved and, you know, through my, you know, snotty nose and whatever, I was able to say yes. And I thought that was so amazing. I think it was like Target or somewhere, and they just prayed for me right then and there. And I thought that was amazing.
That's very beautiful that someone would stop you and do that. And I think
it's very courageous on their part as well.
I think, you know, we started this with outside people watching and being judgmental. That is, to have someone come and actually offer to pray for you is the heart of compassion and the heart of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so it takes away all that judgmental, you're doing it wrong, whatever, feeling, and you've picked up love and encouragement. And gosh, don't we all want to be that to each other? Mm-hmm. Thank you, ladies. Heather, I think that was a very special discussion time. Mm-hmm. I loved some of the really major points that the girls brought up, and that is to give grace to each other. Mm-hmm. We don't know what someone else's story is. Mm-hmm. And to be able to give grace to another mum is just such a huge thing. It was also brought up that Stunk Starla mentioned that we really, she had someone who physically prayed for her in a store. Yeah. And I think if we see somebody who's struggling with their kids, mm-hmm. in a public environment, then let's turn what we notice could turn to judgment mm-hmm. and criticism. Let's turn it to prayer. Let's turn it to where we're actually thinking, gosh, she might be really struggling today. I'm going to just pray for her. And it can be just silent and quiet. Like, we don't have to go, like the lady who did with Starla was very brave. And I also love the point that a person with disabilities is not defined by their disabilities. They're still a person. They still have been created who they are.
It's not a label.
It's not a label. Mm-hmm. And if we can look at anybody who's different and not give them a label, but see that they're made by God as they are and that it's a perfect work and that they are a person, that just changes everything.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that because, you know, being a parent can be hard and at times lonely. And just having that, you know, physical person to come up to you, like you said, and like Starla shared, to pray with you at a time with any mom struggling, is so powerful. And friend listening today, we hope that hearing from these mothers has been an encouragement to you to know that you are not alone, and also an awareness to those around us to be more aware of those who might look or act a little different and less quick to judge for those with invisible needs that we might know nothing about. Be reminded today of 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another and build each other up.
I just want to pray for each of us. Lord Jesus, you see the mum who's loving on the child or children you've entrusted to her. I just pray right now that she will know your presence and your strength. I pray you would overflow her with the joy and peace that comes from you as she trusts you each day. Bless her home, provide for her in every way, and we just commit ourselves afresh to you this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe now at accessmore.com, the new Access More app, or wherever you listen to podcasts so that you never miss an episode on Monday with the moms and as we continue this conversation on Thursday with the mentors. And while you're there, drop a review. We would love to hear from you. And be sure to uplift another mother this week.